Mr. Crabb, is there an adjustment?
No.
All right. Next item on the agenda is Gregory in packet 08-1262. Good morning,
holidays.
Sir.
Gregory Packett is requesting authorization to construct a 16-slip community dock at his property on Totaski Creek, Richmond County. The project is protested by several property owners. The commission will recall at your November hearing you overturned the local wetland board's decision to deny this project, citing as your rationale the lack of direct tidal wetland impacts. The project is located in the upper reaches of Totaski Creek, about 2 miles southeast of the town of Warsaw, and about a quarter mile downstream from the Route 3 bridge. The creek at this location is approximately 300 foot wide. There is a designated federal project channel that extends upriver to the Route 3 bridge. That channel historically served two former marine terminals, one on the subject property and one on the across the creek. The property is highlighted in red. It was previously zoned agricultural and did operate as a marine terminal for a number of years, shipping and receiving barges with agricultural products, timber, aggregate. The property was rezoned in 2006 to residential mixed use in support of Mr. Packett's request to construct 8 two-story duplexes on this 17-acre site. This is the approved site plan. You'll note that there are a total of 16 units, 8 down along the waterfront and 8 up on the hill. The shoreline is about 600 foot in length, and the entire shoreline is held in common for use by the 16 units. This is a close-up of the site plan. Please note that there is an existing wharf. It's a steel sheet pile causeway, basically. It's a remnant from the former marine terminal. The project will take off of that and run upriver. There's also a small L-head pier on an adjacent parcel that Mr. Packett bought when he bought the overall property. Mr. Packett has advised that that small pier and the adjacent parcel, that's your property line right there. That this second parcel is not part of the project. However, the county has advised us that that parcel and that pier were part of the overall rezoning hearing and the master site plan approval. This is an aerial just depicting the project relative to the bridge. There is a public boat ramp, the game department ramp right at the foot of the bridge. Just a close-up. Here's the existing wharf that's the remnant from the marine terminal and the smaller L-head pier that defines the upstream limits of the project. This is the plan view drawing depicting the project relative to the opposing mean low water shoreline and the project depths, and a close-up of that. Here's your existing wharf from the old terminal. The new project in red will be a 5 foot wide, 202 foot long pier, fixed pier. 8 finger piers, 16 slips, and the associated mooring piles. It's my understanding that Mr. Packett will not build this project himself. Rather, he intends to market the property with the intent of providing wet slips for each of the resident owners. Them's looked at this. They advised in their report that if the dock is built, it will has the potential to introduce additional pollutants into the creek. And they recommend that the number of slips be minimized to the number of boats that would typically be moored if this property were developed as private riparian lots. Mr. Packett did ask me to come to this property almost 2 years ago to meet with him and a potential buyer to look at what we could support. Advised him on the property that we would not typically support wet slips for upland lots, that it was our standard practice to recommend no more than 2 slips for each private pier that could be built if the property were developed as single waterfront homes. The county did advise us a maximum of 3 single-family waterfront homes could be built on this property if it was developed accordingly. 3 times 2 is 6, plus 1 for a transient. We advised him 2 years ago we could support 7 slips. This is the ground shot depicting the existing shoreline conditions. As you know from last month's hearing, it has been riprapped under permit. The new pier would attach to the existing wharf, which I'm standing on. It would pretty much follow the center line of these existing timber dolphins. Again, 5 foot wide and 202 feet up the creek. close up with the shoreline, you see there are still some vegetated tidal wetlands located in the near shore. Cross section, 5 foot wide pier, 202 foot long, 8-10 foot long finger piers, and the associated mooring pilings. And a final aerial depicts the approximate location of the project relative to the creek. The project is protested. We have 4 letters to date. The protestant's primary concern centers on the overall size of the project, its impact on safe navigation, and certain of them expressed their concerns that they believe that the prospective owners could simply just launch and retrieve their boats at the ramp and keep their boat on a trailer on the property. The health department has advised that this project meets the exemptions for their sanitary facilities on site. He does have an alternate pump out agreement with Garrett's Marina. They further advise that their approval is restricted to the 16-slip dock and does not include or actually prohibits the mooring of vessels at the Elhead Pier. He does not have approval for that. I'm going to go into my summary and recommendations, which is a bit lengthy, and I'll move through it as quickly as I can.
Thank you.
High-density waterfront developments raise difficult resource allocation questions. These questions become increasingly complex when a limited length of shoreline is shared in common by various owners. While we agree that owners have some rights associated with commonly owned shoreline, these rights probably only include some limited common rights to access the water. We do not believe this common interest in a development automatically includes a right to build a pier and more to it. This opinion is clearly expressed in the Commission's criteria for the siting of marinas or community facilities for boat moorings, which states that for community piers, the number of slips will not necessarily be predicated by the number of units on the property, and that projects that by their design dense concentrations of boats in one area will be critically evaluated as to their impact on natural resources. The criteria further state that in the process of providing mooring facilities to serve such developments, private benefits are realized, but public detriments are often increased. As the number of slips requested increases, automatic shellfish closures may result, water quality can deteriorate, habitat values can be adversely affected, and the character of the water body can be permanently changed. For these types of developments, we typically recommend, as I said, that no more than 2 slips for each private pier that could be built on site if it was developed to single-family waterfront lots, and that's assuming that each pier will typically moor 2 boats. This recommendation does not include riparian properties which propose duplexes, condominiums, or townhomes, which typically have much less waterfront frontages. And again, Richmond County did advise us that a maximum of 3 single-family waterfront homes could be built on this property. Consistent with past commission policy and actions, we cannot support the proposed wet slip mooring of vessels for non-riparian lot owners. Accordingly, and since there is a potential for additional adverse environmental impacts from increased boat use associated with this project, we recommend that a maximum of 7 slips be authorized at the proposed community dock and that the length of the pier be reduced accordingly. This recommendation provides for 1 additional transient slip and is based on a prohibition on the mooring of vessels at the existing smaller Elhead Pier. Although he has advised us that this structure is on an adjacent parcel, it is part of the county's site plan approval and does not have approval from the health department for boat moorings. Should the health department approve any moorings in the future at that pier, the commission's approval, we believe, should be conditioned on a corresponding reduction at the community pier.
Thank you, Randy. Any questions of Mr. Owen? Mr. Robbins? Wait a minute. Council? Okay, quick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. just one question. How would you characterize the nature and quality of the environmental conditions at the site?
On the site itself? Well, there's a huge tidal marsh. Give me a corner here. This marsh is quite extensive. I come through this area. There's considerable marsh here. I've boated the creek in the last year and a half and run the entire shoreline. The creek is, the best of my abilities, in good shape. And it's not pristine by no means. No creek is pristine in Virginia anymore. But those are viable areas to protect. Thank you.
Mr. Schick,
As to the L head, now that lot could also have two boats at that. If he were to put that into the project, that would add another two boats to the dock.
The health department, and I spoke to them on the phone just last week, they did not authorize any mooring at that facility.
But if he came back and wanted to authorize, he could add two more slips.
You mean physically? Would they fit on the pier?
Yeah, on that L head.
I believe you could L on, more on the L and possibly inshore along one on the southern, right. Southern edge.
So if you wanted to do that later, that shouldn't be any
reflection
on this pier.
It. We're recommending against it because it is part of the master site plan.
But you're not taking into account the footage on that one lot, are you?
It includes that lot.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry, I didn't understand.
Okay, yeah. So the 600 foot does include that lot also.
Oh, yes, okay. Yes it does.
Thank you.
Mr.
Fox.
On that same point, then, that lot is included in determining that there are three, the determination by Richmond County that there are three waterfront lots.
That's my
single
understanding,
family waterfront
speaking
lot.
With the county.
Okay. Yeah.
They've never changed that position in 2 years.
Mr. Josephson.
I just note for the record that there's a citation here to the criteria for siting of marinas or community facilities for boat mooring, which I assume still has the same name. However, many years ago, the citation for regulations have changed to the Virginia Administrative Code, and that Virginia Register number is no longer current. So, but for reference purposes and record purposes, I assume that the title is still the same title. Okay.
Comment to my left. Thank you, Randy. Mm-hmm. Applicant present or represented? Good morning, almost afternoon, Mr. Daniel.
Good morning, almost afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. As you all recall, we were here just a few weeks ago on the appeal, as Randy indicated, from the Richmond County Wetlands Board, and you all reversed that. At the conclusion of that matter, I think it was Commissioner Robbins asked a question relative to the 16 slips that Mr. Packett was requesting with this project. And so I think it's appropriate that we begin with answering that question because that really is why we are here today. There's three short answers, and then I'll elaborate. First, this commission has provided prior approval for this site for projects which had impacts to the Sebaquis bottom far in excess of what the project before you today requests. Secondly, you've heard some comments from staff about what did or did not happen at the local zoning, but I want to get with you all on specifically what did occur and what in fact was zoned by the Richmond County Board of Supervisors after a fairly lengthy negotiations and back and forth between Mr. Packett and that group. And then thirdly, a comment or two about why the normal staff recommendation, one size fits all in terms of trying to equate units with number of slips, simply just doesn't work in each and every circumstance. So let me begin with a bit of a history of the site. And there's a fairly long history. This commission approved the Tetusky Marine Terminal as a commercial marine facility back in November of 2000. Tetusky developed that marine terminal in concert with various permits that it received at the local level and from this commission. In other words, this commission found in 2000 that the required elements of Section 28.2-1205 had in fact been met. And if you, Randy, do we have the, I got one. I want to show it fine. How do I show this one? Here. I don't care.
You want?
Yeah, I want it up there.
Okay.
How about you? This is, when it comes up, is, but is really shows you both the packet project and the what was the current state of the property as a marine terminal. The big box is, in fact, the barge that one of the types of barges that was utilized at the site. The packet project is landward of where you see that barge sitting. The only thing extending into where the barge sits is, in fact, mooring poles for the 16 slips. I think that's all right. That's good for now. So, in other words, we really have found before, this commission has found that, or administratively found, that the elements of 1205 were, in fact, met at this site. Mr. Packett is now here before you with a downzoning for this property, basically at the request of the local government, given the consternation and controversy that had surrounded that marine terminal. He simply seeks to build 16 slips to accommodate residents of his development project, which again is two duplex units on the property. Mr. Packett's been through, I should mention he also has agreed and staff's aware that he will relinquish any riparian rights associated with the project in exchange for the 16 slips. Mr. Packett's been through several iterations of the project with Richmond County zoning officials and is currently proposed. It was approved by the Richmond County Board of Supervisors in January 2006. When operated as a marine terminal, the property was zoned general agricultural. The Board of Supervisors, with the concurrence of Mr. Packett, rezoned the property to a residential mixed use. Now, it's important to note that the Richmond County Zoning Ordinance states that, and I'm going to quote to you, waterfront lots shall, in addition to a minimum street frontage, provide at least 150 foot of frontage measured in a straight line between points where side lots intersect the beach or wetland or water body at mean low water, unless, and the zoning ordinance goes on to say, unless otherwise approved as a part of a cluster subdivision or as a planned development. The result of those conversations with the Board of Supervisors and the back and forth negotiation resulted in just that. Mr. Packett had agreed to build a cluster subdivision and planned development, and that is in fact what's been approved by the Richmond Board. The local zoning ordinance goes on to say, again I'll quote to you, no minimum lot size restriction shall be placed on development within residential mixed-use district, the zoning which Mr. Packett has received to the project. In confirming with Mr. Packett, Mr. Christopher Jett, then the Director of Planning for Richmond County, wrote on July 23, 2007, that the purpose of not having minimum lot sizes was to, quote, encourage innovative site designs that are in accord with the district's intent of promoting efficient use of land, variety in housing choices, higher levels of amenities, and preservation of open spaces and natural features, end quote. Mr. Packett's project, consisting of 16 dwelling units and 8 duplexes and a community tier with 16 slips, was approved by the local Board of Supervisors. Mr. Packett now is before you, seeking your permission to construct those 16 slips. I think one only really need to look at the pre- and the post-development impacts on the Sebaqueous Bottoms here to appreciate the fact this project will have, in fact, far less impact than the current situation at the property, which, in fact, if Mr. Packett saw fit, he could go back and he could reconstruct this and turn it back into a marine terminal and go about his merry way. That's not what he chooses to do. He's here seeking your permission and your authority to complete this development project that has been approved by the local Board of Supervisors. Now, finally, the typical staff equation, and we've all used it and we've all been part of it, that equates the number of slips with lot size, just doesn't. It really sort of thwarts, if you will, the local government prerogatives with respect to their land use and how they go about managing the land and in their communities. This zoning for this project was suggested to Mr. Packett he agreed to it, and it was for the reasons that we have recited to you earlier, that it was a lower impact development. It was one where the board sought to seek higher amenities, i.e. slips for each of the individual homeowners. And finally, it simply just fails to account for the prior approvals and the impacts on Sebaquis Bottoms that this commission has previously addressed. Let me a couple of comments, because I know there's some conflict between what I said and what was in the staff recommendation, so let me just take a couple of those if I could. With respect to the L-head pier, which you see at the far left of that drawing, it's still not really focused, but that is not, should not be considered part of this project. It was not in the zoning that Mr. Packett put before the board. His project was for 16 point some acres. If you include that, the project would go beyond that. It's a separate parcel. It is owned by Mr. Packett, but it has nothing whatsoever and is not inclusive in the project that's before us here today. The staff made mention to you and verbalized to you that Mr. Packett may not build this project himself. I don't know. As he sits here today, he plans on building this. We talked last time about number of trips up and down the road to Richmond County and to this commission in order to try to foster the correct permits and so forth for him to be able to do it. It's his intention, as he sits here today, to build this project. I'm not sure what speculation about what may or may not happen down the road with respect to ownership really has to do with the decision before us today. I'll just skip that. I think probably the biggest difference you've probably heard is that there's reference in the staff recommendation that Richmond County has talked about a maximum of 3 single family lots could have been located along the shoreline, and then we go to 150 feet, and then we say 2 slips for each 150 feet plus 1. You know, for transients, so you end up with 7 as opposed to 16. I've read to you, I've quoted to you precisely what the zoning ordinance says. I have talked to you about the quotations from Mr. Jett and his explanatory correspondence to Mr. Packett about minimum lot size. There's no question in my mind, given the zoning that's on this property, that there is, in fact, no minimum lot size. 150 feet is, I understand, normally what we might use in trying to run the equation to come up with the appropriate number of slips. But this is different. That's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. What we have here is a type of development that went back and forth, lots of negotiation, lots of give and take, as those projects tend to do, where Mr. Packett has agreed to precisely a kind of development that the local governing body has directed him, one that has less impacts on the environment, one that frankly has less impacts, negative impacts on water quality, and one that has less impacts in general. It is clustering development, it's multifamily, or not multifamily, but it's clustered planned use subdivisions, and they did that in Richmond County because they thought that they could provide varying housing conditions with additional higher-end amenities. So that, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, are my comments. If there are protestants here, I would reserve a few minutes of if I could. I think Mr. Packett would like to say a couple of words to you all, and we can do that now, or I'd be glad to respond to questions now, and you can hear from Mr. Packett momentarily.
Any questions of counsel? Mr. Schick and then Mr. Tankard.
Sir, are you saying that basically that since there's no lot width restrictions on multifamily zoning, that the back lots could basically be designed so they could get physically have water frontage, 25 feet, 10 feet, whatever? So it could be subdivided in a way that each of these units could have waterfront property.
Well, I guess the way to answer that, Mr. Schick, is that certainly if you'd gone in with zoning to try to have, you know, skinny little lots so everybody could have their slip, you wouldn't have gotten very far. and Mr. Packett never really contemplated that. What we did was to have these two, two eight duplexes that stayed off the shore, relinquish that riparian right as a common area, but yet provide the higher amenities that the county was looking for in some of its housing choices. I guess direct answer to your question is, you know, could you, if you had this zoning and no minimum lot size, I suppose you could go forward with it.
So each duplex could basically have access and waterfront footage by drawing different lines.
That's my understanding, yes, sir.
Mr. Packard?
Mr. Danny, you mentioned a couple of times that you believed that there would be fewer impacts in Mr. Packett's proposal than what was there before. Can you just kind of tell us why you believe that?
Well, I think the very simple answer, Commissioner Tankard, is that there are simply, I mean, if we look at the reason we regulate these, the issue of spacious bottoms, is because, as we all know, it's really the public's property. So we take a hard look whenever it's utilized by some other use that's not necessarily a public use per se. When this was approved as a marine terminal, the amount of subaqueous bottom, which was sort of taken out of the public bank, if you will, far exceeded that which will be taken out of that bank under Mr. Packett's proposal. And I think this drawing, while you could take away the barge, which is the big black box there, you still nonetheless would be, a marine terminal without the ability to accept barges really isn't in much. So that's why we come to the conclusion that there is less impacts to the public property under our scenario than under the prior scenario previously approved.
Further questions? Mr. Daniel, did you want to wait until if there are any protestants here before Mr. Packett speaks, or do you want to speak now?
No, we'll wait.
Okay. Are there any protestants here to the project? Any protestants here to the project? There are none. Mr. Packett?
Wasn't a long wait.
His right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
State your name for the record, please.
Gregory Packett. Good evening.
Yes, it is.
Yes. I'd like to make one note about this particular slide. It was approved, I think, in 2002. I might not have the right timing, but it was actually for two barges to sit there. And we just put one of them.
Were they grain barges?
They were gravel barges.
Gravel barges. Okay.
Previously, it was the Chesapeake Corporation, which was Lugs, and then it was the gravel yard. I live 5 minutes from the property. I've grown up there my whole life. There was talk of this big development going in there. Of course, they would have had to acquire more land than what I acquired. The Totoski Board, which is the people that live across the creek, were in constant uproar about the barges. And this was a thing going on for years. Well, I passed that marine terminal every day, and I just thought it would be neat to finally nip it in the bud. I went to the county because it was for sale. I went to the county and said, what could I do? And they showed me what I proposed to be approved. I didn't ask for anything out of the way from their ordinance. It's in their ordinance that they request that the developer do a community appeal versus the private riparian rights so that it creates less impervious cover as far as the upward land and also as far as a bunch of piers versus one community pier. So that's what I proposed to them. They approved it. When I brought it to the Wetlands Board, it was staff recommendation from the county for approval. It had zero impact on the wetlands. I've abided by all the rules, so I was kind of... The big picture, though, was this property would have never been rezoned to R3, which would allow me to do what I did, unless it was a marine terminal. It's kind of... And that's why I proceeded with it, with purchasing the property without having it all done, because I was lessening the impervious cover on the total project by almost 75%. And also, I don't know as far as the water is concerned how much less impact it was there, but it was a considerable amount. So it was a no-brainer to proceed forward. The adjacent property owner has, I believe, almost the same frontage as I have, and they came before the Richmond County Board and wanted to just get two lots. They were denied. And that was a concern for me, and that's why I went to the county before I bought the property, and they said, well, they couldn't show hardship. I couldn't show hardship either, but they really wanted to get rid of that marine terminal because it was a problem in the creek with a lot of the residents. So not just do I abide by all the current regulations for the R3 zoning, it was also a big bonus for the county to get rid of a nuisance that they had and downzone to the community pier. So if I was asking for anything special, I might be hesitant to stand in front of you, but I feel confident, especially with the staff recommendation from the county, that I am abiding by all of their rules that they recommend for approval. I would recommend that y'all do the same. Thank you.
Right, questions, Mr. Packett? Mr. Schick?
What is the distance from, I guess it's the south end of your lot, to the lot that has the L held on it?
I don't have the plat. Well, actually, I do have something. The footage isn't on this exact plat, but I believe, if memory serves me correctly, it'd be 500 and some feet. But
so the 600 feet that the staff is talking about does include that lot with the L head?
I am not sure. I just know when I did my rezoning process and all, it was based on 16 point something acres because they allowed one unit per acre. If I would have thrown in that lot, it would have been 17 acres. I would have asked for 17 units. So it was kind of what
would fit.
What would fit, yeah.
Okay.
Under their current definitions, because I didn't want to, I wanted to abide by all the rules because they were, it was basically a special exception.
Right.
Okay.
Mr. Tankard.
How do you reconcile the fact that the county advised staff that a maximum of three single-family lots could have been built there?
That's the basis of the whole problem, I guess, we have. This county has never had R3 zoning. I was the first. Well, actually, there was one that took an oyster house and got two lots. It didn't involve a community pier. So this was the first community pier in an R3 zoning. Staff didn't know how to respond. And I'm almost quoting the staff. They gave me a letter after the fact stating that I could have gotten 16 waterfront lots, but it was under their opinion that it probably wouldn't have gotten approved because they recommend a community facility. He said typically, historically, in the residential, which is not what I was in A1, the minimum lot size is 150 foot, so therefore our rule of thumb is two slips per every 150 feet, and that's how they came up with it. But this wasn't typical. This was taking a marine terminal and reducing it down to residential, so it was, the impact was tremendously less, and furthermore, it was the first R3 zoning, and that's, and they admitted they are probably going to go back and change their ordinance to say no matter what zoning you have, we might set it at 125, 150, or whatever, but they've yet to do that. Because in my current zone, there is no minimum lot size, and they'll probably address that in the future.
Yeah,
Mr. Schick.
Now, in R1 and R2, do you know what the minimum lot width size are?
It varies. They say 150 feet unless you have a central water system, then it's 100 feet, and it's in different places there's different requirements, but the typical is 150 foot, right. And that's how they come to that conclusion.
Whether it's the house in A1 or R1.
Or R1, it doesn't matter, right. Right.
Questions? Randy. a couple questions. Hazard of navigation, I've read the protest. Other than it increases the number of boats, there's been no significant assertion that this is going to be a hazard of navigation, has it?
No, I looked at it, 2 years ago with the Corps of Engineers. I mean, you've got a designated federal project channel. I don't think they would have approved this project if they thought it was going to encroach on their designated channel.
Okay. Moving along from that point, if what staff is recommending is seven slots, and I've tried to scale it with a pencil and my pea brain, you were talking 92, 93 feet, 94 feet? What's the overall length if it's reduced down to seven?
The average boat lift is 13 foot on center pile. So seven times 13 would be, if you were
101, thereabout.
You asked me to do math.
91? Is it 91? So I had 92 down and doing my scale.
Well, just not a math.
Right? I went to Christopher Newport. That's where I get the tech grad. However, I will show you that I did come up with. 92. I didn't do too bad. So we're talking about increasing the overall length of the facility from 92 feet to 202 feet.
Yes, and of course with staff, it's always been about the number of slips.
I know that, and I understand that, but at the same time, and I'm taking into consideration the density of the housing as well, and you're right. Not everybody that's upland should be afforded a slip, but it just seems to me from a commonsensical perspective, not to open up Pandora's box, but if you've got the opportunity to afford an amenity where it's not providing adverse impacts, hazard navigation, nothing's been there that says that pollution per se is going to increase. And what really gets me a little bit is the length. I mean, my pier, to walk down to get on it across the marsh is 232 feet, and I can walk it in a very, very short order. So I have a pretty good point of reference of what 202 feet are. That's where I'm getting at. I mean, it just seems to me to be an opportunity to positively impact maybe the economy, positively impact Mr. Packett for certain, and not negatively impact the natural resource. That's just my overall comment, and I'll leave it at that. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Schick?
We've had a case somewhat like this. I guess it was up in Prince William County where it was a situation where staff had done the same type of recommendation, which I agree with. It's part of habitat management. We've discussed this, and it's a great rule of thumb. But in that case, it could have been a same type of situation where they could have made long, skinny lots because there was no lot restriction in that particular zoning area, and each one could have had a dock. And now I don't know whether Richmond County would have approved that or not, and who knows. But as a loyal subject of the Northern Neck, I understand the way of the planning commissions and staff there. Things change daily, and they are in a constant state of education.
I avoid those observations.
They are in a constant state of education and do a great job because things do change. And I just in this particular situation where if it was a farm that had no dock, I would definitely agree that we would need to look at that. But this is an industrial site that is being cleaned up. It's going to help the area, I think, economically and environmentally. It's probably one of the first times that marina can actually help. I would like to make a motion to approve this as requested by the applicant. And just because of those reasons, one, we're going from an industrial site to a residential site. We're using less state bottom, and the zoning is not quite clear as far as lot width in a R3 area, basically not having a width side. So you put all three of those things together, and I think it just points to allowing this as the applicant has applied.
Motion made by Mr. Schick, second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion on the matter. Mr. Tankard?
I want to just mention that you know, sometimes we give these permits for dockage to things that you can't even see the water to. This is totally the opposite. And as Mr. Packett testified, the county said that he could have, these were 16 lots. So I think his corresponding 16 slips it works well with this project. So I would support, and I'll close my mouth at that point.
Further discussion, Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have some concern about, I guess, departing from past practice and policy on the two slips per potential waterfront lot. That I think is happening here, and yet the fact that this is downzoned from what was a former industrial site to a community pier, I think warrants approval. So I think there's a tension there between policy concern and the specifics of this case. But I think on balance, the fact that it is downzoned will result in substantially lower impacts. So. I would vote in support also.
Well, I agree with you as far as the tension aspect is concerned, and I would hope that staff would continue the present policy because that's certainly a great boilerplate to work with. But further comments?
Yes.
Mr.
Just a question, and maybe this is a question of staff, but with community peers, isn't there normally a fee required? And I didn't note any fee mentioned in the...
Good catch. We're broke.
Pardon? Well, should that be part of our motion?
Correct. Yes, it should. It was not in the evaluation, but you're absolutely correct.
Well, will the maker of the motion allow an amendment?
Was there any royalties paid for the marine terminal? Or was that exempt?
That was handled prior to me. We'd have to go back and check. It may have been in the period between 88
right.
and 2005, where even if we had assessed one would not have been collected. But I
right.
think that's.
I don't have a problem with amending my motion to include that unless you know royalties have been paid. We don't normally double dip, right?
Right.
I mean, I'd like to, but.
Mr. Holland, is the second of the motion, you accept that?
Yes, I accept.
Okay.
Can one say something?
I think he's stretching. Oh, did you have a comment?
I can answer a question.
He was probably here. Come on, Dad. I forgot about that.
That terminal had basically, when Chesapeake had built the terminal, years before the permit requirement went into effect, and then when it was redeveloped, they built it on the old footprint. So there had not been any royalty paid.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hayes.
Sir.
Who are we talking?
That's math beyond my capabilities.
What would the approximate royalty be for that slip? The slip?
200 by 5.
No,
202 by 5 by... Right.
$1.50
Yeah. I think they'll probably.
So yes, I'd let it be part of the motion, and just to reiterate that this does exclude any reference to the L head on the separate lot.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. It is 12:30. Mr. Hayes, did I hear through the grapevine that someone involved in this case has a conflict, or is...
I'm John Lane. I have a claim against Victor at 4:30.
Okay, how about we take 30 minutes for lunch? Sound okay, acceptable? We'll take 30 minutes for lunch, and we'll reconvene promptly at 1 o'clock.
I'm fine.
Yep.